Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 125, featuring some good friends from Unit Image, which is a fantastic visual effects studio from Paris. It features Joanne Boupier and Dorian Marchosin, and they did a really, really great job. They presented it for us at FMX, which was a little over a month ago, I guess. And it was really fun to have them there for V-Ray Days, and decided to sit down with them and do a podcast. For those of you who are not necessarily familiar with the people from Unit Image, I would definitely recommend you look them up and check out all the links that we have. Their work is fantastic, and it was really great to see some very unique style and really high quality work coming out of France in this realm. And you know, obviously France has a long history of really good CG, going back to the guys from Buff back in the early days. But really, really great to see them. And what's really nice is that they're very, very humble about their work, and I think they seem really cool. They also started a new business on scanning, which we talk about as well. And it was a lot of fun to be able to have them on the podcast. Couple announcements. I guess I just got back from Venice, the one in Italy, not the one near my work. But it was really great. I was able to attend the IM ARC conference, which was the first year they do that. I was there with Lon Gross. As you know, Lon often does introductions with me and sometimes co-hosts podcasts with me. And so we were able to talk about some really great things on virtual reality and architecture, actually augmented reality too, or XR as we like to call it. And I was also able to be on the panel there, and luckily I was able to record the conversation. And it was a really great panel, really great conversation. So look forward to that podcast coming out soon on IMARC, and hopefully you will enjoy it as much as I did. And that's about it. There's probably going to be several other announcements we'll be doing, but if there's other events you're interested in seeing, that will be there throughout the summer. I'm sure every few weeks there's going to be something really cool that we're doing. So go to our website, chaoscoop.com, and check out our events section and do that. And of course, as always, don't forget to remind you to follow us on Twitter, CG_labs, or if you just want to follow Chaos Group, it's just at Chaos Group. And of course, we also have our podcast Facebook page, which I would love to have you guys as subscribers and keep you updated on all these cool things going on in the podcast. And that's just facebook.com/CG Garage, all one word. All right, guys, hopefully you will enjoy this great podcast with our friends at Unit Image. Thanks.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
Did you have a long night?
Yeah.
Yeah. What time did you get to bed?
Maybe two.
No, it was, I don't know, 1:30, 1 something,
yeah.
I guess.
Okay.
So it was okay.
Not too bad.
Yeah, pretty decent.
I got some sleep. All right. Well, you guys, I unfortunately could not make your presentation yesterday because I had to be on a panel. So, and unfortunately, no one who's listening to this podcast, from a few people who listen to Violence, had gone to your presentation. So it'd be great for people to get an idea about what you guys talked about and maybe about Unit Image a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've been at Unit Image the longest, right?
Yeah, maybe 6 years ago.
6 years?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm just
sorry. Yep. Okay. And that's cool for me because I'm environment and rendering supervisor.
You're a rendering supervisor?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's not easier, but it's cool because we have a lot of works.
Yeah.
We have a kind of different projects like game cinematics, VFX effects.
Right.
Etc.
So, yeah, but you guys are based in Paris, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
In Paris with 40 to 50 people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not too big.
No.
That's pretty small considering the amazing work you guys do. And but what a lot of the focus that you guys do is in cinematics, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. And so how did that relationship start?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Johnny
I think the founders of Unit Image are big video game fans to start with. They've played for a really, really long time. And I think building on top of the universe of the game is something that's really exciting.
Okay.
It's something they really like doing. Because, I mean, game universes are universes that are easy to immerse in. And I think they like that.
Right.
And yeah, that's why I think the main specialty is video games. But then, as Dorian was saying, there's also commercials and VFX projects, starting with feature films even recently with Kingsglaive.
Yeah, I mean, your work has been, you know, a major part of our demo reel because it looks so beautiful and it looks really...
Thank you.
And it's really kind of an amazing thing. I've always been telling Lon that we're going to have to make an excuse to go to Paris, and you guys are the perfect excuse to go there.
You're most welcome.
So that's a lot of fun. But you haven't actually been at Unit Image that long, right?
No, I've been at Unit Image for 6 months now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your position there?
So I do studio development. So I take care of everything related to clients, related to communication, student relations as well, okay. Events.
Right.
And so on.
Okay. Yeah. And how did that position happen? I mean, is that based on the growth that you guys are doing? You guys are doing a lot of more promotion these days, or?
No, I think now is a key moment for Unit as well. Deciding, do we stay in video games? Do we do something else? How do we diversify? Do we stay around 40-50? Do we do more and so on?
Okay.
But it's always that kind of time where you need to decide on structuring things or how do you want to restructure?
Okay.
So I think it's that kind of thinking that triggered it. And also the creation of a second company by those same founders called Scan Engine.
Scan Engine, what's that?
3D scanning with photogrammetry.
Okay.
Which is a structure that Unit Image built 3 years ago and used for trailers like The Division or Ghost Recon.
Mm-hmm.
Only it felt like a very efficient structure that wasn't used enough. So they had this idea of building a company that would become a service for 3D scanning, but for other productions.
Okay.
And so they hired me to build that as well.
Okay.
Which means that we offer that service for very high quality 3D scans to other studios or products.
So, but this is sort of on-demand scanning?
Yes. Or,
okay, it's on-demand scanning. Exactly. It's not a library that you guys are selling.
No, okay. It's really, okay, we have this, this film we're working on and we need a character in full CG and we want it to be a scan.
Mm-hmm.
And we would also need face morphs and retopology and everything that goes with it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you guys do character scanning as well?
It's mainly characters, actually.
It's mainly characters.
Yes. Mainly characters, facial, full body, static, but prepared for animation, simple rig, retopology, and so on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And how is your scanning method? Can you talk about how you guys scan things?
Yeah. So we have this structure which is composed of 160 cameras.
Uh-huh.
So it's in a 360 circle. So mm-hmm. we put the model, place the model in the middle of that circle,
mm-hmm.
And we take very, very fast successive pictures.
Yep.
And from that those pictures, we can build this point cloud,
mm-hmm.
And then rebuild a 3D model, which is very rough and raw.
Sure.
And then if the client needs that, we clean it completely to make a very precise, detailed model.
Right.
Based on the references of the pictures and so on.
And retopologize to quad, so it's all...
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
Mapping and so on.
And do you guys do texture maps as well?
Yes.
Okay, so which maps do you guys do?
Which maps do we do?
You have your diffuse map.
Yeah, diffuse, UV, normal displace, depending on the resolution that you're looking for.
Okay. Are you guys able to extract specular as well? Do you guys polarize or not polarize?
Mm. Not yet. Okay. I don't think so. It's something we're looking at. Yeah. The cool thing with 3D scanning is that you always can push research further.
Oh, yeah, you can keep upgrading it easily.
I think the big thing that we offer is the blend shapes and morphs for the face. So once we've done retopology and cleaning the maps and so on, we can create those transitions between expressions.
Mm-hmm.
So at the scanning phase, we zoom on the face and we take like 60 different expressions. And from there, we can create blend shapes.
Right.
And that's internal software. It's really, really good.
And you guys obviously use it on your own work. So there's examples of it that you guys can use.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if you've seen the Ghost Recon trailer.
Uh-huh.
So the guy who has all the tattoos on his face,
uh-huh.
that's a scan, for example. In The Division, the main characters' faces are scans.
Okay.
And some more is coming, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's really cool. Okay, so Dorian, you've actually been, you said you were part of the rendering. Was that always what you did, was rendering or within the company?
What?
You were part of the rendering group, right? Is that always what you've been doing?
Avant,
qu'est-ce que tu faisais?
Before rendering,
yes,
a lot of modeling of props and little objects.
Okay,
in a different company like Akama Studio, another French company.
Yeah,
it's Enki right now. It changed the name. And just modeling little objects.
Okay,
and, for 3 or 5 years.
Okay.
Just modeling.
Uh-huh.
And one day I said, I want to make render.
Right.
And he said, okay, let's go. And
So this was at Unit Image that you started rendering.
Maybe not. I render just a little personal projects in my home before I started at Unit Image. But my work evolved at Unit Image. Yeah.
Okay. And so how long have you been doing rendering at Unit Image?
Maybe for the beginning.
Oh, from the beginning. Yeah. So you've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah.
So were you using V-Ray the whole time when you were doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was your first experience with rendering is in V-Ray?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's I love V-Ray. So
okay, good.
It's very accuracy, and we can make a faster images and with high quality, so it's very cool to use.
Okay, so what have you noticed over the last, I guess, 7 years? Have you noticed changing in V-Ray?
Oh, yeah, a lot of changes. A
lot of changes.
Yeah.
So what have you noticed the most? What has been the things that...
It's much more faster.
Yeah.
And acquire. Yeah, you can have a great image with 1 hour per frame.
Yeah.
And with the GI... complex effects, refractions,
right.
Skin materials are a lot of updates. So I think, maybe with the 3.0 version, that's changed a lot of things for us.
Uh-huh.
Because we can use brute force settings.
Right.
And before that, we used irradiance map settings.
Right.
And they... So much more complicated because a lot of flickering and bugs. So right now it's much more easier to use.
It's easier to use.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. What are some of the, and you've been noticing, have you guys started using GPU rendering?
No, just for testing, not in production.
You guys need to start using GPU.
Everyone's here.
Yeah, it's really good now. Yeah. And you know, I think we've sort of been telling people that you can actually do the hybrid rendering now will actually use GPU and CPU, so it's pretty, it's pretty cool. So, what is some of your favorite projects that you worked on at Unity?
Difficult question.
Yeah.
I love the crew trailer.
The crew, yeah.
Yeah. This is the main first one game.
The one with the cars, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is the first big cinematic trailer that we made it. So I love this trailer because I'm mechanic fan, so I and I love cars, I love motorcycles, and this is a good opportunity to make a lot of different kind of objects like engine and different pieces, parts of the
when the car builds itself at the beginning.
I love this part of the trailer.
I've done my fair share of car commercials. I used to work for a couple of commercial places that I did basically just tons and tons of cars. And I know the challenges to do cars. They're not always, you know, not simple. They have to look right. Car paint has to look right. And the headlights have to look right. Those are one of the more harder things, are headlights. But the other thing that is really impressive is the animation that you guys did on the cars, because... car motion is kind of like human motion.
Yeah, exactly.
You're so familiar with it that if it's wrong, you know it, and it looks CG.
Yeah.
And so what we had at this other company, we had a car simulator that we developed. Mm. So we actually would drive the cars, and it would you know, capture the animation, and you can just render it, and it looked really, really good. But you guys didn't do that. You guys hand animated the cars.
We used the Matcar plugin and a lot of animation keyframe animation for the car.
Okay.
Because we want to keep the idea to the car can jump, can roll in.
Right. So it has to do some fantastical stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But we want to make a trailer like a car. It's just a character, not just a vehicle.
Right.
And I don't find my words, sorry.
That's okay.
We try to...
You can say it in French and I can help translate.
That's okay. My own. No. So it's a good challenge to animate a car. Like you said, it's very difficult because everyone know how a car works in real life.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to animate it, but...
Well, I think it was very successful in the sense that you guys really looked at the car as a character, you know, and you've excited about it, and they transformed to other cars, and they did all this other stuff. So it's a really cool spot. How long did so that was a big piece that you guys did as one of the bigger cinematic pieces, right? Yeah. How long did that project take for you guys to do?
Oh, I don't know.
Those kinds of projects is 6 to 8 months, depending.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have to adapt to the deadline.
Yeah. Right. 6 to 8 months is still pretty short.
Yeah.
So how long is it? It was like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really long.
It's always pretty short. So we don't have enough time to make whatever we want. So,
yeah.
But we try to make better.
Yeah. Didn't you guys do the one with the helicopter and the snow and the car too?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Peugeot.
The Peugeot
one.
French,
yes. I
love company. That one.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
So funny and so ridiculous at the same time.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy project.
It starts off with, so that one has a history, right? Because it's an old Peugeot commercial.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So we try to make a transition with this older commercial.
So people know, because they may not know on the podcast. So there's an old Peugeot commercial from like the 70s or 80s or something, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a crazy stunt commercial that was famous in France.
Yep.
And so you started with that and you transit, but I guess it was CG when you...
You make a CG transition with the old car and your new car arrived in the scene and...
And goes through.
Yeah.
And then it gets even crazier. Right?
Yeah, of course.
It's a really cool spot, and I think the hilarious thing, especially when he does the barrel roll over the helicopter.
It's completely crazy.
Completely awesome, yeah. I mean, but in a sense, I mean, a lot of people do crazy things, but this one was just had an extra sense of humor as well as just really awesome. Yep. So it was a really fun commercial. Okay, well, cool. The crew, let's talk about the crew for a little bit, because that was pretty pretty interesting spot for you guys. Obviously, you did a lot of work on Digital Humans and that one, in the Division as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your work on Digital Humans. What's some of the challenges you feel there? Because this is something I know a lot about.
Yeah, it's complex.
I think the usual challenge is the uncanny valley.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the big thing.
Like, right.
How because the scan engine structure that we have is very realistic, but sometimes very realistic is very uncanny valley.
Right.
So how do we find that stylized enough so it's not in the uncanny valley, but still looking realistic and keeping out of that thing? Usually it's in the eyes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the side of the mouth.
Right. Yeah, no, it is very, very challenging. And I think that the uncanny valley is a thing that honestly it just takes a lot of practice and knowledge. And I think one of the things that we're doing on the WikiHuman project is to try to help people that are looking at digital humans by removing as many variables as possible. So if we remove variables, then you're not having to tweak too much, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I think scanning is always a good place to start, because scanning gives you more ground truth than anything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So what do you guys think about what brought you to this industry? Let's start with you, Dorian. What got you the most interested in doing the kind of things you do? How did it start for you? How did you start in? I guess you did some 3D work, right?
Yeah.
Where did you always? You said you also were interested in, you know, being cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what made you start to get on a computer and start doing some 3D stuff?
Oh, well, I don't know. When I was young.
You're young?
But 3D, I don't start the 3D when I was a student.
Right.
I make university for study mechanics.
To study mechanics.
Yes.
Okay.
To be engineer.
Uh-huh.
So I used CATIA, another software.
CATIA, yeah.
And make 3D models for industry.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I saw a school.
Okay.
And I said, oh, it's going to be cool to make another kind of 3D. And
What was the school?
It's not in the south of France. Its name is Ariès.
Okay.
And it's two years.
Two years.
And
what do you study there?
3ds Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A little bit Maya, ZBrush.
Okay.
Just.
But it's a school for studying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. For 3D study.
Right.
So after that, I just made some stage.
Internships.
Sorry, thank you.
What was that?
Internships.
Internships. Yeah, yeah. Ah, les stages.
Right, yeah, okay. I'm French.
Yeah.
Les stages.
Yeah.
And internships.
Internships.
Yeah.
And where were you doing your stage or your internships?
In the little company that's bigger right now in Toulouse. That's name is TAT. TAT company.
Okay. Is that where you're from? Are you from the south of France?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where in the south of France?
Le Gers,
okay. Yeah.
And
so you went to Toulouse.
Yep.
And you started doing your stage there. What kind of projects were you working on?
Yeah, for the first, it's just for remake their website.
Oh, yep.
And help to plug the computer and something like that.
Yeah, that's what an internship is.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun. And one day I want to make some models in 3D, and he said, "Okay, you can try if you want."
Oh, okay.
And
so, what was the company? What was the company that you were working at? What did they do?
In the company?
What did the company do? What was their?
He makes like movie, children's movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for TV show, and now I think there are some project to the. I don't know, maybe some on TV in French TV you can see a lot of
which shows do you remember?
No. Spikes. The name is projects by Spikes. Spike, but I don't know. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. And then is that you did that? And did you do a couple more of those? And then you started going into to Unit Image after that.
After that, I make another. I go to Paris,
right?
And I start at Akama Studio.
Okay.
And just for props modeling and something like that.
Okay.
And we maybe 3 or 4 years with this company.
Okay.
And after that, I go to directly to Unit Image.
Okay. And how old is Unit Image? As a company?
7 years.
Seven, yeah.
Oh, so you were right there at the beginning of the company.
Yeah.
So you were one of the first people there?
Yep. Not the first one, but...
How many people were there when you started?
Maybe seven.
Seven. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And what were they doing back then? The same thing that they're doing now? Or did they start with smaller stuff?
Yeah, smaller stuff. But we start with the first big trailer, Zombie U.
Zombie U.
Zombie U. It's a right. In this kind of project.
Yeah, that was a Wii U.
Yeah, Wii U game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this project, just a little team.
Uh huh.
Maybe 15 people.
15 people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we start with this just a little, and we always keep this idea. We don't want to make a bigger. With a lot of people.
Right. You want to keep the team small.
Yep. Because it's very important to us to, like me personally, I always work with all the team during the modeling, texturing, shading, lighting, compositing.
Right.
We try to keep the idea that all CG artists make everything in the shot. And
right.
Yeah.
So all of your artists are more generalists.
Yep.
Okay.
Except the animator and the FX guy.
And, the animator and the effects guy.
Yeah.
What do you guys do? You're in effects, and do you guys do it in Houdini, or do you guys do it in Max?
Yeah.
In Houdini.
Houdini, 3ds Max.
Gotcha.
And
you composite in Nuke.
Nuke and After Effects.
And After Effects.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So over 7 years, you probably have seen a few changes, but you said that they still try to keep it small. What are some of the big changes that you've seen in the company over 7 years?
Now we have a lot, not any time to manage everyone, so it's not easy to us to continue to make 3D
right.
And take a time to make to talk to each other and make a.
You guys are too busy, basically.
Yeah,
not a bad problem to have.
No.
Well, that's cool. I think, like I said, the work has been really amazing, and I think that you guys have somehow some special magic in the company that makes it look the way it does, right? So there's something interesting about the way that unit image work happens. Every time I see a spot, even and your guys don't necessarily tie to a particular style that makes it yours, although it definitely shows high quality. But even I look at like the Cartier commercial that you guys did.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, actually, let's talk about the Cartier commercial. Were those real tigers or leopards or what were they?
Leopards.
So they were real the whole time, or
no.
Were there CG?
No. It's some shots. It's a real tiger,
right?
And some shots it's a full CG tiger
or leopards. They're leopards, right? Are they leopards?
No, snow leopards.
Snow leopards.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Sorry, leopards. Sorry. Ooh.
So it's really hard to tell when which one is which, and that's always a testament of how good it is. So,
cool.
Yeah. And all right. So that's cool. That was really, really cool. I love that Cartier spot. It was really nice. And what about you, Joanna? Have you always sort of been in the industry?
No, I'm actually more of an intruder.
You're an intruder?
Yeah. I come from a small indie video game company called Ubisoft.
Not so indie.
I started working at Ubisoft. Amazing games, amazing experience.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually how I came to know about Unit Image.
Right.
Because, they've done quite a few projects
right.
for UB games. I've always been very, very a huge fan of everything 3D animation, cartoons. I wanted to be an artist for Disney when I was a kid.
Yeah. Where was that? Where were you a kid?
Where was I a kid?
Yeah.
I moved a lot and then went to live in the U.S. for a couple of years in Raleigh, North Carolina, with my family.
Yeah.
And then we came back to France. And then my big brother put me in front of a computer when I was 6, and it was Doom 1, which I loved. And then I went to Rayman. That's how I knew Ubisoft.
Uh-huh.
And so on. Then I went to business school. And after that, went to work for Ubisoft, had a great time. When I learned about Unit Image, and I thought, that could be a very cool place to work as well, an industry to discover.
Uh-huh.
Not too far from video games, so still with the family.
Yeah.
Super interesting. I came to see them and, yep.
Okay. Well, then, so what have you had to learn since you've started there? Besides the fact there's an easier transition since the game part, what's been different to learn about that industry? Or
I think the big jump is going from client position to studio position,
right?
Because I used to work with studios to create CGI trailers
mm-hmm.
because I worked with the game, so and now I'm working with the studio with the people who are making the trailer for the people who are making the game. So that's very interesting.
Right.
And it's cool to see how Unit Image interprets the universe. Some of them I know really well because I spend time with a client.
Right.
I think that's a very interesting jump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because this is a lot of, this would be an interesting thing, because I think a lot of some of the artists I work with, they're dealing with the client. on, you know, and that's a challenging thing because they don't always know what the client wants or they're just interpreting it. So since you came from both sides, how do you now see the difference between being the client and now being the service industry in a sense?
Oh, I think in the case of Unit Image, we're really lucky because we get along well with our clients, which is not always the case. But in this case, it's really good. But I understand that there are very high demands on both sides for quality, whatever happens.
Sure.
And then it's about actually nailing that vision that the client has for his own game. Mm-hmm. And usually in CGI, telling a story that the client is maybe unable to tell in gameplay and that we will be able to tell in CGI.
Right.
And that's something that is very interesting narratively, for example. Mm-hmm. And yeah, being from both sides, I understand what the demands are from the client side and then what the achievement has to be from the studio side, and the pressure can be very high.
Right.
Yeah.
It can be high. And I also think that there's a lot of sort of thought about that the clients can be very challenging, or they may not necessarily know what they want, but the clients are also dealing with their own pressure, right?
Of course.
So what, to help enlighten people on what that pressure could be, explain from the client perspective, what is that pressure that they're dealing with?
I think it's in the video game industry today, we talk about the games very early on and we have to deliver on the promise. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do with each and every single game.
Right. So so if I understand you, like, for example, you'd go to like a game con of some kind, mm-hmm. and you'd announce the game that you're going to work out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll take 2 years before that game comes out.
Yeah.
And you have to deliver on what you promised this thing, which is just in the earliest stages of development. Right.
Yes.
And you have a fan base that
yes.
is going to hold you to that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's actually the video game players that are the biggest demand on things.
Yeah, and they're right because
right.
because we say we're going to offer you this, so we have to offer this.
Right.
And even from a Ubisoft perspective, all the artists that are developing the games are extremely passionate, and it's interesting to see that the artists at Unit Image are the same. It's the same people who want to deliver something amazing.
They come from the same cloth. So.
Yes. And they're going to fight every day to make something a little bit better, and they say, okay, I'm finished, but actually, no, I'm going to do that a little bit more, and it'll raise the level.
Right.
And yes, of course, satisfying the fan is very important, but satisfying on what we promised is, essential.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite kind of games? You can tell. Yeah, either one of you. Or both of you.
I
you like Doom. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Doom. But Doom is nostalgic, weirdly enough. Rayman 1 is very, very strong.
Uh-huh.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I enjoyed a lot. Uh-huh. And GTA 5, I could name so many.
Yeah, it's difficult to choose because a lot of games... maybe for me, it's Nintendo 64.
The Nintendo 64 games?
I'm a big... a lot of games. I love Mario and Zelda. For me, too.
Are you going to get a Nintendo Switch?
Yeah. Just for one game.
Just for one game.
Yeah, like everyone.
That is the most expensive copy of Zelda you'll ever buy.
But it's very cool to play to this game. So.
Yeah, playing Horizon Zero Dawn right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Okay, that's a lot. That's you're not the only one that's told me that I should consider that game. But yeah, I think that it's interesting because for me, like, I've played video games a lot when I was a kid.
Mm.
And then for some reason, I just stopped playing video games. I think it was right out of grad school. I just stopped playing video games.
No.
Right? And then suddenly I started... Someone said, oh, you got to play. I remember what it was. It was Skyrim. So you got to try Skyrim.
Yeah.
I said, all right, well, I haven't. And I was like, wow, video games have changed. Next thing I know, I've logged 350 hours on Skyrim.
I play a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, it's pretty cool. But I think that a lot of the what's interesting about games, and this is actually telling a lot of what Unit Image is doing as well, games have become far, far more narrative.
Yep.
There's a lot more story involved in games. And I think that what, and you may correct me if I'm wrong, actually you'd be the best person, Joanna, to tell me, but what the cinematic does is sort of, or the teaser that you guys are doing at Unimage is help tease people into what that story is. So that they become invested in how interesting that story is. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at some of the stuff. I mean, okay. So for example, I remember, and sometimes it's a disappointment there, and I'm going to be very honest, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going at, right? So I know a lot of the guys at Blur, and they were doing the Elder Scrolls cinematic, and it was an amazing teaser story. You saw these characters, and you're like, wow, look at this thing. Mm. And then they did another one and another one. It's just like this whole storyline going, and it's like, I can't wait to buy this game. And I bought the game, and I was so disappointed in the game. Yeah. And this, it's not necessarily a fault. I think that like they couldn't deliver on that story promise, right? So do you guys ever feel the pressure that what you guys are doing has to deliver on that? I guess that's, again, the client's concern, right?
I think it's a strength from Unit Image to always stick to what the ambition of the game is.
Mm. Right.
Like, take the example of the For Honor story trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It was really something, a mantra that they had, that we need to stay close to what the studio, Ubisoft studio in Montreal wants.
Right.
And I think that's what happened. Actually, it was amazing because during development, they the team working on For Honor went to Montreal to do the mocap with the team in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's extremely cool because, first of all, the mocap team at Ubisoft is super good.
Right.
And second, it really reinforces the partnership and the accuracy between trailer and game.
Yeah, and I guess you also get to hang out with the director and you, or whoever's, you know, on the game side, and say, this is what your intent is, and you start to understand the language that's going on too.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's cool. Who is Ubisoft, like, one of your biggest customers, or who are some of the other companies you guys work with?
We have lots of different
right.
Partners. We have a great relationship with Ubisoft, obviously, right. And you know, the universes are so cool that it's, yes, of course, we want to work on that.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
But no, we have lots of different partners. And then again, we have so much variety in projects that we also have the commercial,
your commercial stuff,
side
right.
of partners, yeah. Cartier, for example, yeah. or Peugeot and so on.
Right.
It's,
are you guys doing more commercials these days?
Yeah, for Canal Plus.
Canal Plus, yeah.
The kitchen commercial.
Kitchen commercial with a, I don't know
that one. Yeah. Oh. Maybe I didn't see that one.
You need to watch it. So it's it takes place in a very fancy kitchen. Uh-huh. And you have a lot of cooks preparing. It's rush hour and they're chopping, not vegetables and stuff, but they're chopping toys, animated toys, and small scenes, for example, spaceships flying in a platter right. and so on. And the story is, to make great movies and great TV shows, you need the best ingredients, exactly like in cooking.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's so French.
It's very French.
So French.
Everything is about food.
Yes. Good food, good ingredients, quality ingredients. Well, that's good. That's cool. But, I mean, okay, so I'll tell you this. Like, I feel that somehow the commercial budget has dwindled in the United States in terms of the amount of money they used to put into commercials.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, you know. Super Bowl season, I used to work on the commercials. Super Bowl season was crazy. Mm. And I don't see that many insanely expensive Super Bowl commercials anymore. And I'm wondering, and also, well, back when I was doing car stuff, there was an enormous amount of CG car work. I don't know if it's as existent as it used to be. But do you guys feel that there is actually more demand for higher quality production values and French commercials these days?
I mean, the Canal Kitchen is an incredible stunt,
right.
actually. When you check it out, you'll see I think the concept in itself was so strong. Uh-huh. So we're not the money people, so I don't know, but
right.
yeah.
I know the ambition was very high and the quality is very high. So, yeah. So that's, I think that's an example.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. That's a great example. I think that it's very interesting to see, you know, what's going on in France. I'm not familiar as much with the industry, the visual effects industry, the post production industry in France. I know there's a lot of very high quality places there. I know a lot of great French visual effects artists, there's definitely a lot of people there. But it's this not the same. Obviously, my first memory of like the big visual effects company, one of the best in the world at that time, was Bouffe.
Yeah.
And they did some of the best work in this area. I mean, obviously, and they did it. What I love the most about them is they did it not on the traditional big blockbuster movies. They were doing it on beautiful French movies, which I have a, I'm a big fan of French movies. I'm a big fan. We have a little group. Sometimes we get together. We call it our FFC club, which is our French film club. And we watch French movies. But there's something that I think is very unique about the French film industry. There's been a lot of, I'll put it this way, and I'm just going to get on my little soapbox for a second. There's been a lot of backlash in the United States about people subsidizing for films, right? Because what they're doing is they're just driving work around and they're doing, putting tax subsidies on things to lure work to their area or whatever. And I'm against that because I think that it's unfair to people. It's unfair to the film industry if you have to move around, et cetera. And that's sort of something that's been talked about a lot. At the same time, the French film industry subsidizes their films quite a bit, but they do it for a different motivation. They do it to keep the art of French of filmmaking in France and remember that history that's important. And I believe that that's actually much more of a noble art patron thing. Like French film history is, that's, for God's sakes, they're the Lumiere brothers. That's not a bunch of guys from Hollywood. These are guys from France. And so the, I think the film industry started there, and a lot of things that were very important about film started in France, and I think it's really a beautiful thing. And so when Beef come in and all of a sudden they're showing like very high production value stuff that you would normally only see in American films, was really kind of a cool thing. And then obviously they did it in American films as well. But I think that that's, that the history of France and what they're doing is really cool. I'm just not as familiar with what is going on now or actual studios. So Unit Image has always been that, oh yeah, let's see, that there's my connection back to France. Yeah. okay, well, what do you guys see as the future of some of the things that you guys want to do or do you want? Like, what do you see as the future of the company and what do you see as the future of sort of the industry that you want to think about? Oh. What would you like it to be?
More VFX projects in France.
More VFX projects in France?
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe for Unit Image, we think we can be bigger and bigger. So... try to keep the quality with a big team.
But that's a hard thing to do, right?
Yeah. So we try to anticipate this kind of problem right now. And maybe for my personal career, I hope one day I can work on this big project, American big project, or maybe a VFX project, I don't know.
The ones that last like 2 years.
But we love a great game trailer. It's a very artistic way to make a great project with low pressure. We don't have many times, but we can make a whenever we want. So it's very cool to CG artists to work on. Game trader.
Absolutely. It's interesting you were talking about like the fear of growth, right? There's always like, I want to do bigger stuff, but I'm going to have the fear of growth. And so I worked at an architecture company that was the largest architecture company in the world, right? There's back when I was there, it was around 2,800. Now they're now like 5,000 people in this company. But what they did is never felt that way because they kept everyone into these studios, small studios. So it was like we were basically like hundreds of small offices all interconnected. And then when we needed to borrow people from, we became very flexible. So that's usually kind of a good way to do it. But I tell you, I've also worked on massive, when I was working on Tron, that was like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And managing that is really hard, really hard.
Yeah.
What's the biggest project you've ever worked on?
Tom Clancy's The Division.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest projects from Ubisoft. So it's right. Yeah. Hands down that one.
That one had some really incredible, that has a really incredible story behind it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has some very, very heavy research actually.
Yeah.
Which was actually something that I personally loved is the accurate research narrative background on what would happen if a catastrophe like that did occur.
Right.
And
Can you tell briefly what the story is?
Yeah, so it's the story is that a virus is released on Manhattan Island, and people get sick, and then suddenly, you know, so since Manhattan is an island, it's a structure that's very interesting because being surrounded by water, you can see like a micro development of everything that would happen at a larger scale on a small island. So it's easy to tell that story.
Yeah.
So as the virus happens, people start getting sick. As people start getting sick, they stop going to work. Mm-hmm. People stop going to work. So there's no more food in stores. There's no more water. Mm-hmm. When doctors stop going to the hospital because they're sick, then people die and so on. So a lot of the population gets decimated. Mm-hmm. And the moment shit really hits the fan is when the riots start, clans start forming because they, you know, territory.
Right.
And that's when a secret cell of sleeping agents is activated, and those people are the division. And those people were trained in secret. It's a little bit like, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Uh-huh. No one knows that they actually do that, and they get training outside of their normal lives. Uh-huh. And when no more military or police or whatever security force can do anything, those secret cells are activated everywhere in the U.S.
Okay.
And the base of that story is actually...
Oh, so they've been training for this sort of...
Yes, for this sort of catastrophe. So they have very different kind of skills compared to the military.
Interesting.
And the force of it is that they are sleeper cells. And you don't know who they are, where they are, how many they are.
All right.
And they act in their own will, so they don't report to a general or a lieutenant like any other army does. And that gives them a strength opposed to clans, for example, because it's hard to anticipate where they're going to come from and how they're going to attack and everything.
Right.
So that's the story. And you play an agent of the division, of course. Uh-huh. So you can decide how you're going to take New York back.
Yeah. Is it sealed off?
Manhattan is sealed off, yes.
Just like Escape from New York.
Yeah, quarantine.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So that was how long was that project?
Ooh, well, I think it was a 5-year development.
5-year development.
Yeah. And research never stops on that kind of topic. So it's so interesting. And then again, the ambition was extremely high for that game. And it was a success. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
I remember when we announced the game in 2013 and we showed that first demo, and the excitement was so high. And the studio, you know, being a Swedish studio, the Swedes never expected that it would be that. They were not happy with what they were giving. And in the end, the result was so high.
Right.
So that was a really good moment as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I think it always looked really, really cool. I was very interested in the game, obviously, because I think it had like this, you know, like I said, like some video games now have this interesting narrative that people are looking at. And so back to the same question that I asked Dorian to you, what do you think some of the future is looking like, or what would you like it to look like in terms of where this industry is going and what you're trying to do in it?
Well, obviously, I think the industry is going towards larger projects. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of... Yeah, I think a lot of projects get bigger, and a lot of other projects are very, very small. So it's like a... I don't know how you say a gap between very small and very big. Mm-hmm. And I like that Unit Image wants to stay in Paris and stay in France. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually something that, we should keep.
Okay.
Even though we want...
Is there thought of expansion to other locations?
No, I think keeping the studio human-sized and still working internationally, working with Hollywood is amazing, with American partners, international partners, is the variety is something we want to keep as well.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping it in France, I think, is interesting. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of very good schools for artists. Mm-hmm. And then again, there's this thing where artists go in very good schools in France, and then they travel. They go to very good studios, whether it's video game trailers or VFX.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them do come to Unit Image at one point, and then they leave again and come back, and they have this experience that's building that's very interesting for us.
Right.
And I think that's really richness of this industry.
Your own division network going out there and
exactly.
spying on
Exactly. We have our sleeper cells everywhere.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, this kind of... the. freedom of artists discovering different ways of working, different workflows, different projects is very interesting for them.
Right.
And when they come to us, it's really interesting for us to build on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so on. So that's where I think our strength is being there in France and highlighting French artistry and welcoming people from all around, and then working with everyone from all around.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I think that's really cool, and I think it's good to be able to find, you know, your zone and your place in that world, and it certainly doesn't stop you from working with other places all over the world. Do you guys see yourself working in feature films as well, or are you, yeah?
Why not?
Yeah. Right. Well, cool. I think that would be, that'd be really great to see that. Again, I would love to see another, you know, another one of the booths in the world coming from people like you, and seeing where that nice quality work could come from, because I think there's a sensibility that's there, and possibly just uniquely French, who knows? All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on and being part of this. I really love the fact that you were able to do a talk for us, and hopefully you guys will do many more.
Thank you for inviting us. Yeah. We appreciate it. It was super exciting.
Yeah. So I definitely want to talk to you more, and hopefully get to Paris at some point.
Yeah.
But if ever you guys come over to the LA area for just for any reason at all, come by and we'll give you a tour of some of the fun stuff around there.
Oh, good.
Sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so much.